We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, I want you to notice these words. You remember Jesus claimed to be God. He said, Before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to throw at him because he claimed to be God. That's what it means, I am, the Eternal One. Before Abraham was, I was back there, I'm the Eternal God. And they stoned him because he said that. That's what the world hates. The world hates the deity of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't object to him being a teacher. Average man says the Sermon on the Mount, quite a nice sermon, good philosophical approach to the thing. And they say he did live a good life, and that's all right, he's a good example. But the world rejects his deity, you see. The blood of Jesus is on the hands of the world. It's on the hand of government. Rome has the blood of Jesus on her hands. It's on the hands of religion. Religion has the blood of Jesus on its hands. It's on the hands of democracy. The masses have that blood on their hands. It's on the hands of the individual. The man that rejects Jesus Christ now is crucifying Jesus Christ afresh, according to the Bible. Now, you're guilty of having on your hands the blood of the Son of God. When you reject Jesus as your Savior, you reject God, the only one that can save. You reject the only way to heaven. You reject the only way to get victory over sin, the only way to get forgiveness. So they tried to stone him. Now, immediately following this, Jesus passed by. He saw this man, and he was blind from his birth. And his disciples, now, they were good, honest, nice people, you know. They were interested, and they were there to learn. So they said to him, Did this man sin, or did his parents sin? Now, Jesus said, No, it's not that. It isn't that he sinned or his parents sinned. That's not it. Now, Jesus didn't mean that the father never had sinned. He didn't mean that this man himself never had sinned. God never contradicts himself. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says in his word, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, this boy was a sinner. This blind man was a sinner. His parents were sinners. But what they had in mind, undoubtedly, was this. Is this blindness a result of a specific sin? That's evidently what they were asking. Was it caused by some sin that he did, or was it some sin his parents did? Now, they may have known more than we know. You know, they may have had information that we don't know about. They may not have known scientifically what we know about the possibility of blindness as a result of certain type of sins. But they may have known experience that a certain man who committed a certain sin might have a child who was blind. See, they knew that. So they asked Jesus, an authority. They said, was it his sin or his parents' sin? You know what Jesus told? Jesus said, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. What's that? Wherever there's any effect of sin of any kind, there's an opportunity for the work of God to be done. It's God's opportunity. Wherever there are blind eyes, wherever there are deaf ears, wherever there's a sick man, wherever there's a broken heart, wherever there's a man, a woman marked or scarred by sorrow, suffering, a death, a disappointment, wherever there's a place, it's God's opportunity. It's the opportunity for a Christian under God to manifest the works of God, either in graciousness, in patience, or prayer, or some other way. What a world of opportunities. Yes, sin does abound. It's everywhere, on every street, in all the homes around the world. Sin, sin, sin. Everywhere. Not some specific sin, except the sin of rejecting Jesus. That's the sin. Did you ever stop to read those words? Don't just stop with the first part of the verse, where Jesus said, He believeth and baptized shall be saved. Get the last line of it. He that believeth not shall be damned. The sin, the colossal sin, the sin that sends men to hell, is rejecting Jesus Christ. All sin has its root in the rejection of Christ. A man who is properly surrendered to Jesus Christ will not sin. We Christian people would have victorious lives if we were under the power of the conquering Christ. So fully surrendered, fully consecrated, fully dedicated, many women to Jesus Christ, have victory. So wherever there's sin in the world, that's not where it is. There's an opportunity. So Jesus said, here's a chance for us. I'm here working the works of my Father, on my way to a cross to die for the lost world, and I have an opportunity here now to do something. And God, my Father, put this poor blind man here in my path to demonstrate. You know, the miracles were the credentials of the deity of Christ. Now, you know, people said, well, didn't he say we'd do greater works than he did? Yes, but now wait a minute. He didn't say there would be greater in quality, not that. You know, Christianity made progress after he rose from the dead in the day of Pentecost and swept around, but greater things they do. Do you know regeneration is greater than bodily healing? The salvation of a soul is very much greater than curing a man of leprosy. The greatest miracle in the world is the miracle of regeneration. And after Jesus Christ went back to heaven, after he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and went back to heaven, then you know that the Christians went out on the power of the Holy Ghost, and look what they did. But it doesn't mean that there'd be a greater quality. Now remember that, man, when you hear people talk about that. It didn't mean that somebody raised a dead man. Strange that we don't have anybody today raising the dead, isn't it? Wasn't in trouble with Jesus to break up a funeral. So if you're going to follow your argument, why don't you say, well, we did greater work than he did. We raised a man who'd been dead 6 days, and he raised Lazarus who'd been dead 4 days. See? But you don't say that. You see? People go off in extreme positions and take certain stands and go around saying we should do greater works than he did. Well, now, he told that group that they'd do greater. The people of that generation would do greater things in the sense of achievement. And they'd get the gospel to more people. They'd have a testimony that of his resurrection and saving power. And that was a great good works that they were to do. Now, let's understand that. Now, wait a minute. Why don't some of these folks that say they do greater works than Jesus, why don't they hang an arm on somebody that hasn't got an arm? Why don't they do something like that? Why don't they break up some funerals like he did? If they're going to follow their argument to the reasonable conclusions that they're supposed to reach in the matter. All right. Now, Jesus said, here's an opportunity. I must do the work of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, he said, I'm on the way to the cross. I have some work to do now. Up to the cross, I came to die. Let's never get away from that, men and women. Let's keep this in mind. You know, Jesus kept saying all the time, mine hour's not yet come. Mine hour's not yet come. And then after a while, he stood in the shadow of the cross, he said, this is it. For this hour came I to the world. He didn't come here to show you how to live. That's incidental. He didn't come here to show you how to perform miracles. That's incidental. He came from heaven to the earth, and I hesitate to say this now because it might be misunderstood, but if I had time to analyze it and go into it, you'd understand what I mean. He did not come to this world primarily to show you how to be saved. Now, he did show men how to be saved, but that wasn't the primary purpose. He came to this world to die on the cross so people could be saved. The simple plan of salvation is all outlined in the epistles. Very clear, very simple, much clearer than in the Gospels. The plan of salvation, how to be saved, all so simple in the epistles. Now, he came to die. So he said, now, I must do the work of him that sent me. God sent me. While I'm here, I have a work to do. I must manifest the power of God. I am God, and I must manifest this power. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with a clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is the interpretation sent. He went on his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, the neighbors noticed this, you know. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this one that sat and begged? Some said this, and the other said, oh, he is like him, but he said, I'm he. Yes, I'm the one. You're the one? Yes. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said that unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know where. I don't know where he is. They brought to the Pharisees him that four times blind. It was the Sabbath day. Now wait a minute. Watch him now. Sabbath day and when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight, he said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed him and see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? That's division among them. They got divided, fighting among themselves. Then they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now, this poor blind fellow was just feeling his way along, you know. Our spiritual eyes were not yet completely open. He said he's a prophet. He'd heard of the prophets that had power in the Old Testament. Now, it's an interesting thing. You ought to read this entire chapter. I haven't time to read it fully to you this morning, but you ought to read, every one of you ought to read this chapter. When I get to the ninth chapter of the Gospel of John, sit down and read it. Well, we go along after a while, they bring him back again, and they told him, the religious leader said he's a sinner. Well, the man, blind man, who was able to see, he looked him in the eye and said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I haven't anything to say about that. I know I was blind. I'm not blind anymore. I know that's one thing I'm sure about. I'm sure whoever he is, that he opened my eyes. And then later, as it went on, you know, they tried to give this young fellow trouble and tried to push him around because his eyes had been opened by the power of the Son of God. Then what happened to him? Then he met Jesus. And Jesus let him know who he was. He immediately worshipped him. He got his spiritual eyes open. Did you know that's more important than getting your physical eyes open? I'm talking to somebody today that's blind. Blind as you can be spiritually. You don't know spiritual things. You can't see them. You have no apprehension, no understanding. Why, that's what the Bible says. Jesus kept saying he'd have eyes to see, let him see. He'd have ears to hear, let him hear. You can't see. You can't possibly see unless you have spiritual eyes. So this man got his eyes open, and he could see. Jesus had opened them. And now he recognized Jesus, who he was. He first said he was a prophet. He took it for granted he was some outstanding person. And then the religious leaders in their pious way said, well, you know, he's a sinner. And then the poor fellow said, well, if he's a sinner, I don't know what he is. I just know one thing. I know that I was blind, and now I see. You can't deny that. Somebody did it. If he's done by a sinner, then it's done. If he wasn't a sinner, it's done. I know I've had an experience. And I was born blind, and that's unusual, you know. A fellow's born blind to get his eyes open. And then he met Jesus. Listen, whenever you meet Jesus, you're going to recognize him as the Son of God. You won't recognize him as just a man. And you'll believe in his virgin birth. You'll believe in his deity. You'll believe in his incarnation. You'll believe in his blood. And you'll believe in his saving power. Many women, listen, if you don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, you've never met him. You don't know him. You're a poor, lost, blind, helpless sinner. God has taken care of you, but you haven't surrendered your life to him. God help you to surrender to him today. Our Father, help all who listen in to this message today who are not right with thee to get right. Pour out thy spirit and thy power upon us and make us what we ought to be and use us for thy glory. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist, and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.